If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
This is Tedious on therightstuff.biz.
This is Tedious. 1137. Almost there.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
Jewish apocalypse.
I know all the big like George Lucas fans out there, all the George Lucas stands are excited for Friday's episode. We're all going to have to shave our heads and wear all white, maybe? Alex is already there. Just wear all white on Friday, Alex.
Right. Wait, what?
THX1138. We're on episode 1138 on Friday. Some people are really excited about that.
Can I confess something? I've never seen that movie.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Is that a reference that I'm not getting?
Yeah, clearly.
Okay.
Oh, man, that sucks. Yeah, it's one of George Lucas's like early sci-fi movies.
See, with Robert Duvall. I've always thought Lucas was a fucking hack, so I never looked into his career very much.
Yeah, it's like a typical like dystopia post whatever, and you have like Robert Duvall like in masturbating machines, like that's how they breed humans.
Oh god, gay.
It's fine.
What?
And then of
At
course
they're breeding though.
And then of course it's sometime in the aughts.
At some time in the aughts,
he replaced a bunch of shots with like computer generated, like, you know, with CG, like visuals instead of the actual in camera stuff that they shot. So, like out of nowhere, there's this extremely high tech like Transformers looking like highway, like future cars on the highway thing. You're like, well, what the fuck was that? And then you're back to like the shitty like 1974
so
fucking.
Apparently, they're characterizing this movie as social science fiction.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, I guess so.
I mean,
but yeah, anyway. But we have to do prep in the car still because we started late. Because, I don't know, the world is conspiring. That's kind of cool, like all the white backgrounds. And the cops.
This means you have no budget.
The cop robots? Yeah, I know. He had no budget. The cop robots are constantly like crying out that they're trying to just help you as they're like brutalizing
That's
you.
That's kind of funny.
Like, please, it's not safe. For your safety, come back. And it's like so we can zap you with our taser spears. It's pretty funny.
Yeah,
it's whatever.
That's kind of funny.
TDS 1138 coming to a podcast near you on Friday, unless there's some other insane thing. So I have a loaner car.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. I laughed.
I've got a it's a Subaru Wilderness. Never heard of that one before. So I had to drop off my car for my car has recalls on it. Like this is like the one cool thing. About Subaru, it's like, yeah, we fucked this car up when we built it, and we're going to fix it for free now. So I'm getting, like, my airbags replaced and something with the brake line. I don't know. But then...
Hang on a second. There's a Wilderness? Is that, like, the next level up from the Outback?
It's an Outback Wilderness. So it's like...
Whoa!
It's, like, double rustic. It's got some
Holy
really knobby
shit.
Tires on it. It handles really well. The problem
it's
is...
It's got some, like, cool trim on it. It's, like, got,
man,
like, it's got, like,
think
it's, like,
about,
got its
like,
color...
Your-
And then it has like you're, another color of trim.
Yeah,
you're in the Outback, and then you run into the Wilderness.
Yeah, like implying
like,
the Outback isn't natural enough. It's like the Outback is man made, and now you're in the wilderness of the Outback. Yeah. You're in the wilderness Outback, and the entire car is a touchscreen tablet. So I don't know how that works out.
Mm.
So I'm just like, at what point does this car brick itself because the OS crashes? Because you know you got a piece of like, it seems like a nice idea. You've got all these apps. You got an operating system.
As someone
but
that
then
knows
it has,
how computers work,
but
it's
then
a terrible idea to make
it has
cars
communications.
Too dependent on them.
It has some kind of Wi-Fi capability that I don't know about. And like your phones connect to it wirelessly or to the wire. And the phones go online. So therefore, shit is going to get in. And that from what I understand, like that OS probably is going to have like,
Israel's watching everything you do in
well,
that car.
Well, it's also just going to constantly need security updates.
Yes.
And then one day, it fucking, the car is bricked. And literally, you can't do anything with the car anymore.
Yeah, Peter Thiel's like just checking out everything going on
so
in
people,
there.
People, it's like the same thing. Like, I know those shitty, what are those electric cars called? The Elon cars?
Teslas.
Like, those have this problem where like the tablet bricks and the car's done. This is the same thing. It's just that it's gas.
I mean,
power.
I've heard that. I've heard people say that, but I don't know. Yeah. Again, I'm just totally cynical. Whenever something is like a thing that people are saying on the internet, my instinct is like, is that true? Because I see people saying that about Teslas a lot. Now, I'm sure maybe it is true. I wouldn't be surprised if it were, and I'm not counter-signaling anyone. Yeah. I just haven't independently verified that that's true, that these Teslas, suddenly some like glitch happens, and now the car just doesn't work at all, and you can never get it to work.
Definitely plays into my biases, how I view the world. And like, yes. Like, yeah. It's not even just on, not even on an Uncle Ted level.
Well, I've like,
it's on like an Uncle Pajit level. Like, I understand. Yes. Like, you've got electronics that are coded and maintained by Pajits. They're going to break. It's gonna, it, they're gonna, something is gonna happen to them.
Yes, but here's the problem with that. Here's my one thing with that. Not that it's not true, but that mm-hmm. I've had many computers and software has never, software in a computer has never bricked a computer because you can always literally just reinstall from the
software.
Beginning.
Will
software breaks and
software
fucks
will
up.
Software will go out, will no longer be supported and nothing no matter what you do doesn't work anymore. That will happen with computers. I have an app on my phone that did that. Like I have a guitar effect device that has a Bluetooth control.
Yeah.
I've had it since 2017, 2016. And the latest version of the app, brick, nothing. And it's I know it's because the combination of them trying to keep up with whatever Android's bullshit is for security and stuff, like they just couldn't make it work. And so
that's
now,
that app, that's not the hardware.
It's the app, right.
So my point is,
but I'm saying like that, yeah. But now the hardware is almost useless. If I want to change parameters,
see what you're saying.
You have you have an on the thing like clunky, or I can plug it into the computer, which is on the opposite side of the room from the fucking guitar that it's hooked up to.
Right, but see, Here's my other thing with this is that
assuming
is,
that still works.
That so that's like a okay. So you have like a musical component that it needed software.
Well, it's just electronics. Right. But I'm saying apply that to your heat in the car. The heat, all the climate controls are touchscreen buttons. Like yes. If that thing ever goes down and it's cold, you're just going to freeze to death in the car.
Yes. Awful. Those used to be mechanical controls, if you wanted to adjust your fan or your vent, the fans, like the vent settings, you grab a piece of plastic and you move it
like that.
And it shifts the vents.
Well, dude, I absolutely am with you guys completely, 100%. I'm scared of change and advancement. Absolutely fucking hating
innovation
the idea.
Bothers me.
It's not advancement. Here's my thing on that.
I hate the idea of controlling. No, Alex is right, but one second. I hate the idea of controlling appliances and like cars or like your air conditioning or anything with like an app from your phone.
I saw a tweet the other day. Someone posted, "Why is my LG dishwasher using 3.5 gigabytes of data today?"
Yeah. Right? No, that stuff I fucking hate. Like, I was even
my dishwashing machine's downloading the entire internet.
When I first saw like the air conditioner with just like a remote that only worked with the air conditioner and wasn't internet, like I was a little bit skeptical of even that. But now I'm fine with that. Like the remote control for the air, that's fine. But I don't need to do it from my phone. There's also people that do like. They'll control like their fucking like the stuff in their fish tank from their phone. Like they'll control like their filter and their lights and all that. I know I don't want to bring it back to that, but we don't need to go into that. My point though is general.
That the audience loves that.
The idea that the Tesla, the entire car, will because of some software glitch. Not that like one component of it will break or something like that, but the car itself will just stop and like unrecoverably. I've heard that and I just don't entirely buy it, but. That doesn't mean
buy,
that like I'm
no,
in
I don't
favor
buy that
of,
at all.
I want to hear Alex's like.
I'm not, that doesn't
on
mean
it.
I'm like in favor of all these new advancements and controlling everything from your phone or apps controlling. I think it's really dumb.
Alex is going
to
say it's
apps
not
controlling vital machinery. Like I think that's
I
really
hear
stupid.
It. I'm ready for the Alex take.
I'm going to say that if it can be done mechanically or with a wire instead of through some sort of software and transistors, do it mechanically.
Well, I was going to say that like
just do it though.
Digitizing something and putting it in an app is the appearance of advancement. It's not actually advancement.
Yeah, it's just a
you're
new
not
interface.
Doing you're not doing something new with it. You're just
right.
doing it in a
right.
gayer way.
And it's not new to be able to do that.
Right.
Because I remember I had this same critique like 10 or 12 years ago when I was still working in and actually even longer now because this shit actually even before I left working in the IT sector to do racism full time. Even before I did that this shit with like Raspberry Pi and like these little like fucking these little components that had firmware in them that was a native like JavaScript engine that you could link them together and then you could write little scripts that controlled stuff. I was always like, this is dumb. And I remember seeing a guy who did like a tutorial video on how he had like linked up the lighting in his apartment with Raspberry Pi, and he wrote an app on his computer to like control it. And I was like, yeah, but you could just flip the fucking switch. Like, this was literally my take even then. And I was even coding in the same ecosystem as that, but I was like, this is fucking retarded. Like, literally, it is actually easier. It is fundamentally easy.
It's like, why did you do this? To prove that I could.
No, you're not God.
He legitimately did it as like, he did it.
Use a light switch. You're not God, now, sir.
He wasn't pretending. He wasn't pretending that what he was doing was advancement. He was doing it like for fun.
Right.
Right.
He was playing God.
But it's, well, I mean, it's just actually more godlike to just like flip a switch and turn lights on and off. That's more godlike than having to go
miraculous
through a complicated process.
So somebody woke up from like the right, like,
what he actually was doing, he's like, I'm doing this for Orthodox Jews because they're not supposed to turn lights on and off. So if I create a program on my laptop that randomizes.
Doesn't that count?
Oh, randomizes it, yeah.
It randomizes when it happens.
Oh, God.
But no, but the Orthodox Jew can't. He has to leave the computer sitting there on Friday because he's not allowed to touch it on Saturday. But he's still.
You know,
Orthodox Jew barely figured out how to dig a tunnel, so, you know, here we are.
I would call it like Hitler swastika 2017 or something, and you would get the good Goy program.
I want to call things that generally though.
Yeah, like
Hitler swastika 2024 program, but it's also got a bunch of Nazi imagery. Like that's
Hitler swastika 2024. I'm writing it down. I'll write it down. Hitler swastika. I feel like I should use the term Hakenkreuz. Hakenkreuz.
To be more like accurate to the period.
So I had two corporate interactions yesterday that were awful. One was seemed better than the other, but it turned out to be awful. So I had interactions with UPS and with Subaru. UPS, I don't know if you ever noticed, like if you navigate away from the UPS website, it logs you out.
Oh, I never noticed.
Oh
that,
God,
I do notice that every time I go back, I have to log the back in.
Yeah,
which is annoying.
So I was shipping. I sold another one of my amps, and I was shipping it. And I bought a shipping label for it without being logged in, because that's the beauty of a website that constantly logs you out. And you go, "Oh, I'm not logged in." Now you can't cancel it. I made a mistake. I needed to void it and start again. And they wouldn't do it. Like the Pajits on the phone are like, "We'll email you information in 15 minutes on how to cancel that," and they just never did. And I'm just like, "So okay, fine." The mistake I made was I got the weight wrong. And the people at the store like insisted, like, "Oh, they'll just backcharge your card if you underpaid for weight." I'm like, "I'm fine, whatever." And they told me that because of the value, I couldn't take it to an access point. I had to take it to a UPS employee, like a driver, a warehouse, or somebody. They even said UPS store. You can't take it to a third party. You have to take a UPS employee has to take this thing from you.
Jesus.
And I go to a UPS store, which is 40 minutes away.
Yeah, I can't.
And they're like, "We're not UPS." He's like, "You can't take that here." I'm like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" He's like, "Yeah, you can't. We're not UPS employees." I'm like, "So the UPS store, if we like, I'm so like, so you won't void this label, sell me your own and accept this item that I have insured for $1,500. No. Okay. So what do I do? Of course, I was nowhere.
This was actually a branded UPS store.
Yeah, I was nowhere. Nowhere near this polite at this point because I'm walking away. Like, "Oh, it must be nice. You can just walk away from your job. That's cool. That's good. I wish that at all my jobs I could just walk away."
I want to clear one thing up. So it was a branded UPS
store. The UPS store.
Wow. And they're saying they're not UPS employees?
And they cannot sign for a
so
valuable.
So who the fuck does?
I'm supposed to hand it directly to a driver, or they told me I could drive over to the distribution center that will be open in 3 hours and give it directly to it. And I'm just like,
what is the point of that? From the perspective of UPS as a business, what is even the point of that?
Shoving their big corporate fist up your ass. Like, I don't know. Like, there's no point to any of it.
It seems like you want, like, so my, because I've had the experience where you go to a store that is like, "We do some UPS store functions, but
I was told not to go there.
Right.
So I went to the UPS store.
I've gone to one of them before. There's actually one of them around here
one right down there.
Well, there's one that's like actually like a place where you go to buy like Funko Pops and shit like that. Like, and
you gotta ship your Funko Pops.
Well, no, because most of their business is shipping, because they're always mailing these fucking stupid figurines around. Right. And we went there one time for a UPS store type errand, and I walked in and I was looking at all like the LARPy, like the silly like nonsense crap they have.
Yeah.
And like, and it was like some of it was like very I was like, kids shouldn't have these type of things. But yeah, and they were like, the Beaners that worked there, which is, again, so here we have in the middle of this nice white town, we have a store that sells these perverted figurines, and then we have Beaners working there, and then they won't even do their UPS duties. They won't even take the package from me. And so that's when I learned, like, never to go to a UPS affiliate. You're at a store. But it seems like if you're at the store, it's like, well, you are working for UPS. I don't know.
Favorite businesses is an access point, and they're very good. I don't want to say the name on the air, but
oh, okay.
You'll know who I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh.
What's one?
The place I always go? Ah, yes.
Yeah, they're
oh, yeah. Oh, I love that place.
But they can't sell you a label. If you've got a label, they're all good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, so
I don't actually love that place. It's just convenient.
They're just nice people. But they're really nice.
The ladies
but,
work there are super nice, yeah.
So that was that. So I ended up going to another store that was not a UPS store, and it was just some, like, grizzled old man, like, what do you mean you can't drop that off? Of course you can drop that off here. Oh, it's worth $1,500? Give me a break. It's not a lot of money. I'll send it right over to him. It'll get,
wow,
listen,
this guy's rich. All right,
like,
okay.
No, he's just the UPS man. He's like, I work with auction houses. I've been moving music gear, collectibles for 30 years out of this place. It's going to get there. Oh, it's an amp. It's not even the whole stack. It's just the head. It's fine. Just leave it. Of course, unless he just stole it from me. I know he didn't, though, because it's moving through the. But
yeah.
So on the other side of that, like, so you go to. I got mom and popped. I got the mom and pop guy helped, and the corporate people were like, because the corporate people were Indian, and then there were people that were like, I don't.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, the call in was like, hello, sir. Oh, I see you.
We will be emailing you
information on how you can cancel. I'm like, why can't you just cancel it now? Like, why can't you just take the tracking number, cancel the label, and have it refund to my credit card right now? Why can't you on the phone just do that? Why are we? Oh, I know, because you're not actually going to do it. And then, sure enough, half an hour later, it wasn't there. I was like, okay, well, I guess we're not going to cancel it. I'm not going to buy a new label with the right weight. Fuck you. And we'll see. Maybe they'll charge me extra. Maybe they won't. So then on the other side of that, at the same time, I was going to drop the car off for the recall. Because, like, Subaru will be like, we fucked your car up when we built this, so we're going to fix it now. But then they give me, like, we'll give you a free car. That's this Wilderness piece of shit. Wilderness girls. The Wilderness girls were out in my driveway. So I drove that. And I get home later. And remember when we were talking about electric cars and car dealerships and stuff? Everyone's take on electric cars, because I was all being, like, boomered about it. They're like, well, you know, car dealerships, they make most of their money in the service center, not from sales. I bet that's them right there texting me.
Is this why, like, the car dealerships hate electric cars?
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm reinforcing how much money they make on service, because they called me. They weren't done with the car yet, but they called me to let me know that they had found, like, $5,200 worth of work that my car needs.
Yeah.
Outside of the free recall service. I'm like, really? $5,200?
That's interesting. Thank you. Thanks. Can you just finish the free service?
And they weren't done yet. They called me again this morning. Everything's done, but you have an aftermarket stereo system in the day? Like, yes. Well, you know, we're working on your airbag, so that was kind of in the way. And our tech says that, like,
oh my god,
oh, you've got all these wires that are exposed on the harness. And I'm like, on the Subaru side of the harness or on my side? On your side. And I'm like, really? I have exposed wiring in my, like, my speaker cabling and stuff. Yeah, it's a fire hazard. Here, I'll send you a video that he took. I'm like, yeah, send me that. So I look at the video.
My fucking god, they sent you a video?
I don't know what they were trying to get me to do. They were trying to get rid of, like, liability, but they sent me a video. I can see all the wires in the harness going to the stereo. They're all. You can't use wire nuts back there. It's too cramped. So they're all fucking. They're all crimped, and they're all taped off. So there's no shorts, because then, you know, except for one wire. I'm like, oh, I see an exposed, like, splice right there. Oh, that's the connection to the battery, and that has no protection over it. I'm like, that's funny. How did that happen? That is a fire hazard, but, like, I know I didn't do that. Did your guy pull that fucking shrink wrap off? And now you're trying to, like, I'm like, are you fucking kidding? I'm going to end up murdering people this afternoon when I get caught.
What kind of man would carefully crimp and tape all of his connections and then leave
this particular... Except for the battery! Except for the one that I could die from! And you went in there and did some shit, and you're calling me back to let me know that the one... It's like, it's not like one of my speakers isn't working now because you bumped it. It's like, the thing that could start a fire and kill us all. I'm like, you motherfuckers. I'm so mad.
I'm so I'm just still so shocked that we actually send a video.
Yeah, I was very appreciative of that, because I was like, oh, you were full, you're entirely full of shit. Thank you. I'm like, put the tape back on there that I had on there, and put the stereo back. If I come down there and my stereo's not installed, I'm gonna be fucking pissed. Like, I brought this in for recall work.
Are you supposed to remove the stereo system?
If they had said so, I would have done.
Did you know that the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded? The only reason you're hearing this right now is because you're only getting half the show. There's so much content you're missing, and you'll never hear these ads again if you get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall.
So, if they had said that that's going to be an issue, I would have popped the thing out. I would have looked at my own non-exposed wiring harness connections that were not exposed, that were not fire harness or fire hazards.
They're not fire harnesses?
They're not fire harnesses.
Yes.
Fire harnesses.
Well, I put the fire harness on.
It's not exactly rocket surgery.
Those go in the British cars.
I actually find the idea
that's why they don't make
that,
cars anymore.
The way that these stereo systems work isn't like snap-in modular is annoying as fuck. Like, they should actually just develop that tech and just do it. Like, it's always annoying.
Well, that's capitalism for you. We all come up with our own innovative way to do stuff.
No, it used to annoy me. It used to annoy the shit out of me.
That's how you get innovation.
Well,
you get innovation.
Don't worry.
Everybody has a different plug that connects into a different socket.
Going by with new cars, it's just not possible anymore.
Yeah, you just
the
can't.
Entire dashboard is a touchscreen. Like, what are you going to do to that?
You can't put aftermarket shit in anymore. They've really fucked over those companies.
Yep.
Like a Pioneer and Alpine just wrecked because you can't fucking.
Just in case everyone knows, this is still prepping the car. We're not even doing the show yet.
Well, I used to.
I have the story about why I'm late now. That's the next story. So we had yet another 2-hour delay. We've had like the snow has really run roughshod, and because I live out in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania. Where no one thinks anybody's time is valuable, and no one thinks anybody has anything to do.
No one has anything to do.
Nobody has anything to do. We're just going to look at our trees
and
our squirrels.
But my thing is, like, yeah, but what if I just want to do that? Like, it's not your business to tell me what I should be doing. Like, if I just want to go home and look outside at my yard, that's better than doing this.
Yeah.
And so that's my choice of what to do.
What
to stop wasting my time.
So
I have valuable hours to spend gazing upon my backyard.
So,
like,
I don't care how diverse your school district is or how shitty it is. I have never seen this happen anywhere except for here. We had a 2-hour delay where my kids get picked up. There's so many kids at this mass bus stop. Actually, they send three, but where I'm at specifically, they send two buses.
Yeah, no,
only,
I can see that.
Only one pulled up. Like, oh, what do you mean we got half the kids?
I would be, if I was a kid, I would be like, there's no room for me on that bus.
No, there's not. They're not allowed. They're assigned. So you can't, like, my kid's bus isn't there. My kid's bus arrives a half hour later than it's supposed to.
Oh, man.
And people were like, leave him, like, nah, I'm sitting here, like, I gotta get home and I gotta get in the shower and I gotta change. We're doing the fucking show in like half an hour.
That's funny because I was like 40 minutes late.
I know, thank God.
Issues with like snow and just having to, just issues.
But have you, I've never heard of a school district where they have that kind of thing is gonna happen and they don't text you, email you, or call you. I have never seen anything like this in my life. Like, it's like
you can just,
I know what they did. They do this. Sometimes they're short a driver. And so they send our bus driver to do a different route and then come do this route. It's like, why don't you just tell me that's going to happen? It's because, well, you have something more important than to sit around and make sure your kid gets on the bus? You have something else to do? What are you? Are you not from around here?
And I'll say about the schools, though, typically is that
they're usually generally
are
very good about
on
this.
Top of like where, like helping you figure out like where your
kids
are. And where
when I was in Fishkill, if there was going to be some sort of transportation anomaly, they would go 8 ways from Sunday to try to make sure every parent knew about it.
That's exactly the kind of shit parents go buck wild about.
People will go fucking ape shit. Out here, I guess, like, oh, what happened? I don't know, I'm going to call the school and see what they say. I can't get through because everyone else in this packing lot is also calling the school, so the line's busy. So nobody knows what's happening. I'm trying to check the website, but there's nothing about being short of bus drivers.
They don't update their sites.
I did not listen to your show from last night. I wanted to because Lewis was on it. So that sounds fun. I didn't do any fucking prep. All my prep is just being mad about stupid shit.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty normal for you.
No, usually like I'm just coasting on.
No,
fine.
You are mad all the time. Let's not rewrite history here. Like,
I might.
You get mad about the smallest shit.
Usually, I'm mad about stuff that doesn't matter. This stuff all matters. I didn't have time to be mad about the other shit that doesn't matter that I should be mad about. How about that? Does that work?
There you go. Yeah, I try to. I have like a scale of things to be mad about, and I get really mad about like huge things that
I was thinking
arguably.
I was thinking about this because like no matter how many times I just say to stop, like the Reddit app keeps sending me shit from like our teachers. It's like, and it's like r/teachers. Like, teachers are the most entitled faggots on earth. The shit they complain about is like, I'm sorry. Oh God. I hope you don't have this problem while you're off all of like July and August. You poor thing. I hope you have time to think about how terrible your career is while you're off all summer sipping beers and like sitting in the sun getting a tan while everyone else is still around. Really. But like they were complaining about a parent sort of like me who was making a stink about closing the school and doing remote learning. Like, all these people are so entitled to like, oh, it's so annoying that they really just see school as like a daycare center and a thing. That it's like, well, yeah, it's not only that the entire society is built around send your kids to this building while both of you go and work so there's no one to watch the kid. And when there's an interruption in service in the daycare center, people get mad because it's like, how am I supposed to continue life the way the American dream of no one's at home all day because everyone has to work all the time. That only works if this government institution is holding my kid all day. How dare you complain that like something's out of whack? It's just, it's like, yes, teacher, you're a glorified babysitter.
And the fact is, like, frankly, if you don't want to be that, I guess I can understand it, but the system is doing that, not the parents.
Yes.
Like, the system is doing that, and the reason they're doing that is because they absolutely insist that everybody's kids go to school with people of like wildly different racial backgrounds, mm-hmm. so that like
well, the it same
literally,
ages,
literally, it was the same age. But who fucking cares? Like, if you put enough racial diversity into a school, like it's not going to be a learning environment. It's just going to be a holding pen. It's just a holding pen. Like that really did ultimately happen. And the younger the kids are, the more that's true. The younger the kids are, the more that's true because they don't that the less sort of some kind of discrimination or segregation. But I'll tell you this: mm-hmm. My school was growing up. Were filled with blacks, okay? Not like more than half, but we were approaching that, and now the school that I went to is more than half black. And if those blacks had been fully integrated, if they weren't segregated, like they started to be in middle school and then were completely segregated in high school, there would have been no learning. Like there, like in primary school, there was no learning. Like we sat around and like watched films and read books and played games or whatever. I don't remember what we did. But the learning didn't start until later on, and that was only because like they would just actually had something called track two, and that was where all black kids went. Right, I was track four, right?
Track four.
Like I said it was pretty well segregated
for a jail sentence.
Yeah, it was like pretty well segregated. Like track four
it's like, can you send the trolley onto track two to take all the niggers out? Problem solved.
It was like track four was like middle class white kids and Jews. Track three was like working class white kids. Track two was niggers, and track one was literal retards. Like special, so called. Now they call special needs. They should actually call like
it's called speds.
It's called literal retards.
Literal retards.
Speds is always a fucking funny one. That's good. Yeah, because it sounds like a retard, right?
Yeah, sped. So that was my morning. What a fucking now. So now when we wrap this up, I got to go bring the car back, and then I have. Am I going to be like reinstalling my car stereo in the parking lot of this car dealership? I don't know.
I still don't understand the concerns about the car stereo. Is it like taking somebody to the doctor and they're like, you really need to quit smoking?
No, they sabotaged it.
Car stereo.
They sabotaged like you doing work on your own car.
They exposed the car. I mean, they exposed the wire.
You want to know what's funny? That was an entirely different experience of myself when I actually like fucked my car up.
Yeah,
and I took it in because again, like there was a sound in my engine. And
oh, anyone in there looking for the fan?
I thought
thing,
it was. Thought like I could avoid cost by doing it myself because they were saying because on the internet, a lot of times this sound is just caused by debris in your fan thing, right? The thing, it's in the dash, whatever it's called. I forget what it's called. And they're like, okay, in your car, it's located behind the passenger side dash. So I like took the stuff off. I opened up, took the interior door off, unscrewed the screws, popped off the dash on that side. It was under the glove box. I basically the glove box is like a compartment, right? So you unscrew like 17 screws and you like jigger it out, and it comes out. And then there's this fan thing. I did all that, and once I got under there, I pulled it out. There was like nothing in there. It was like totally clean.
When?
So I then it was like fuck. So I reinstalled it, but I'm shitty. So I'm not used to this kind of stuff.
Oh, right. After all the making fun of you I did, I actually hired the service center to change my oil for me.
Look.
Like, yeah, well, you got it. It's cold. I don't feel like going to
myself.
Dude,
our buddy was talking about like how he just does it through the top. I was like, that's genius. Like, how do you do
that? Oh, yeah, you suck it out with a you get a pump, or you can just use a shop vac.
Yeah,
but you have to like get like a beverage. You got to have like get, like a beverage straw on there.
Yeah,
and
as long as you have an attachment, I'm not doing that shit. Dipstick thing. Yeah, that's true, because the dipstick, it's like, yeah. You could actually use probably some of that airline that they use for like fish tubes, like for your fish bubbler.
Actually, I do have some.
It's fucking cheap, dude.
My dehumidifier. I've got some water line laying around. I could use that.
Same. It's the same.
Fill that with oil.
The same gauge. Yeah, just somehow adapt that to your shop vac. Just suck all the oil right out of the dipstick hole.
Dipstick hole.
That's actually like a really funny idea. I like walk.
That's a really that's a really nice insult. Like, you dipstick hole. I'm gonna put that in the notes. I like that, dipstick hole.
But then my question was like, don't you have to? Because I don't know anything about cars, so make fun of me if you will. Like, don't you have to get under there to change the filter?
Depends on the car. Yeah,
filter. Yes.
Subaru filter's right up on top.
That's like actually the issue. It's not
Subaru
even the oil.
Subaru, you just reach right in there and it's just right here. But then when you take it off, like all the oil that's in there drips out. It's really gay.
Yeah, it's gross. We'll just get a tray. Get like a tray and just like slip it under there and, you know. Anyway.
So.
But the guy at the dealership, because I took it in for some other thing, and he was like, yeah, like, I saw you messing around in there. He's like, you know, that, well, it technically would void all your warranty. I just took care of it for you. And I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you for correcting my mistake. Like, thank you. That's mighty white of you. Like, and it was good. It was a good thing he did.
Like, why do you want credit for it, though? Just like, just do it. Just everybody knows. Just do it. Leave the poor guy alone. He tried to avoid having like a day in the fucking shop. Try to avoid you having to do free work under warranty. Just, you know, just leave you alone. You don't have to tell you like, oh, you know, you fucked that up and I fixed it for you. Just
well, he wanted to make sure that was what had happened, that there was something else going on, that I had actually done that.
Didn't you buy the car from them used? Like, so you're telling me you want to make sure that you actually did a proper inspection on this vehicle before it rolled out? Thanks. So
no,
what else did you?
Really
what else could you have possibly missed, sir? Should we
really
take a look around? And we kick the tires a little bit.
It wasn't an inspection. It was legitimate. I wanted to get that problem fixed. Whatever.
I mean, like their 90,000 point inspection they do to a car before they sell it. Supposedly, the 90 point inspection.
Well, the other
is like,
thing was
we found $5,200 worth of work you could do on this car.
The other thing was,
if you hired us.
Here's what the real issue was.
$2,800 somewhere else.
Here's what the real issue was. That was a GM shop, and my car is a Nissan. So
oh,
he didn't know the
fuck!
Car,
that's not even like, a car.
Yeah, it's not.
You don't even know what to do. Do they even use four wheels on those things? Oh my god, this incompatibility. Anyway.
Yeah.
We don't have any real content.
But that also shows you, we got some real content. That also shows you how different.
Oh, I didn't tell you my hot take on Red Letter Media.
I saw it and I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what you were saying. What were people saying a couple years ago?
Why do they keep talking about Star Trek?
It's the only entertaining content.
I want to hear racism and anti-Semitism, yet they're just talking about Star Trek again. And to give us credit, when we talk about Star Trek, we actually do analysis. Rich, Mike, and Jay are just doing trivia, and the running joke is Jay doesn't know anything. Like, we get it.
I watched that video.
Please review a movie.
I watched that video, and
I was so not entertained. I was like, not. I was reading my phone.
I enjoyed it,
fussing
but,
around with the fireplace.
But I was also like, I didn't have any fun at all because, I mean, I enjoyed watching it, and I enjoyed watching it just because it was sort of funny, but like. The questions, I was like, dude, I would not get any of these right, and I consider myself.
Really?
There was only one question.
I figured you'd be like the guy like watching Jeopardy, like yelling at the screen.
No, all right, not at all. Okay. The only one I would have gotten. Those were so fucking esoteric, dude.
Okay,
because they That's did fair. In the part one of that series. I hope they actually do 10 of them. They said that they were using questions. No, they were using. They're not going to. That was
please,
a joke. That
please
a
review joke. A good. Please review a movie. Review a movie that you hate, please. Just
right.
Watch some Disney Plus Star Wars and get back to me with how much you hate your life. Do it, Mike.
The game they were playing was legitimately supposed to be like extremely like esoteric and hard to know questions that they're and the only one I would have gotten was a Darmok question, because everyone knows that.
Even I knew that one.
Yeah, everybody knows that. Yeah, even you knew that. Like, oh, they talk in metaphor. That's the only one I would have gotten. It was funny, there was one that they considered like super easy. And I was like, all right. I also got the one that Mike got wrong, but then he got the credit for.
Which one?
Where he says, like, let's see what's out. He says, what's the last line of Encounter at Farpoint? And he said, it's let's see what's out there. And he's like, no, it's not. It's engage. But as soon as let's see what's out there was denied, it was obvious that the answer was engage. Because that's like he's going to say that as like the technically the last line.
Okay,
that would trip me up if it's like a specific line at a specific time in a TV show. No,
well, but it's the most famous ending of the first episode. Like you're not going to be able to know what the line is said at like minute 25 with 30. You know, but yeah,
unless
somebody will. I don't know. Anyway, I can see why it would be boring. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't. Yes, I really want them just to go and watch New Trek and A-log it.
I want them to just hate on content that's terrible.
They haven't been doing that.
I want them to be with me and like be disapproving of content that's supposed to be good but is just overrated. Like I want them to do that, but if they never do that, they seem thirsty for just like how our guys will be like thirsty for validation from somebody who's not a white nationalist, like is leaning towards my god, that might be. It's like they have the sort of the same attitude towards, well, I was like, oh my god, this movie's not total dog shit, I might actually like this, and I'm sitting there like, nah,
that I hate that they do that, because I'm like, why are you wanting something to be good? Like that's totally contrary to everything I want.
Yeah, and then like, their thing is to,
all
like,
these things suck.
The movies that are too
good. Because they genuinely
that.
Just want to watch something good. That's why they're not watching this shit.
I just want to
watch.
Yeah,
they're not watching it for the same reason you don't watch it.
Well, I want to watch them hate it.
I
want to
watch somebody else
good.
Hate on something, so I don't have to do the hatred. Like I don't want to actually. Like I watched The Holdovers on New Year's Day. I didn't need to watch that movie. Stunk. But the reason I watched it is because one of the movies, like as a meme, they won't review because it's supposed to be so good. And it won all these Golden Globes. I'm like, this movie was not good. And I would like Jay and Mike to tell me how it tried so hard to be good, but it just wasn't.
I want them
to do that, but it's like, I have to do that myself, and I'm not good at that. I'm not that good at the movie stuff. I can just be like, this kind of was gay, it's like, stupid, I didn't
fucking
like it.
Yeah, well, that's all you really need to do. Like, movie reviewing is completely subjective, so you could just be like, well, no, I just didn't like it. Like, that's my review. I personally don't enjoy it. And that's my review of, like, 99% of movies, so, as everybody knows. But you know, but like,
it's a terrible way to do a review.
Well, that's fine. I mean, that's your subjective opinion, right?
Well, that's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it is like reviewing like story structure and like your filmmaking 101
people,
stuff.
People
which is
are
cool.
good at that. I'm not going to do that.
But
that's
my
not,
kind of thing is like, this movie is posing as something emotional and like, I don't know, heady, and it's just not. It's just schmaltzy.
I feel
it's
like
just...
everything these days is posing as something that it's supposed to be, but it's just a pale imitation of it, and none of it is actually real anymore. Like,
right. That's right.
There's like there's an idea of types of films, one of which is like
this is the one that makes you feel things is very dramatic and emotional, and I'm just kind of like, no, it's just kind of gay, and I'm bored.
And what was that recent? Did they ever review what was that recent sci-fi film that was hype but sucked? And
the creator? I was about to mention that because I started to watch it and then I just couldn't. I just noped
the
fuck out.
And the creator
it
is
has
an
a
example.
Scene featuring a pregnant Asian woman in this like blackest of black, like feral blue gummed moon cricket from like the deepest dark of Africa. And I was just like, no.
Yeah. Right.
I don't like this.
And so The Creator is a movie that gives itself the idea of being like the thinking man sci-fi blockbuster.
Well, it's Gareth Edwards, right?
Like,
it's Gareth Edwards.
Whoever that is.
Like, he directed some stupid
Star
Wars.
Rogue One is like if you gave millions of dollars to Star Trek fans to do like a prequel movie.
Yeah, it was okay.
That's how it felt.
It's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
It's Star Wars, though.
It's not bad. It is not bad. It plays it safe, but it felt like a fan film.
If you gave millions of dollars to Star Wars fans, wouldn't you just get...
I would just take millions of dollars and...
Wouldn't you just get, like a bunch of fat people, like, dressing in costumes and having,
Well, yeah, but that's what all the movies are now.
I guess.
They don't really do fat people. They're just like, here's the Burger King Kids Club, and half of them are lesbians, and here, this is the content
right
now.
Right, and then they
it's
would...
Bit, like, here's literally, it's just cosplay on film now. It's really annoying.
Here's the other thing that I can't get past, is they're filmed on sound stages, and you can tell.
Yeah.
You can fucking tell.
Well, that's
tell.
George Lucas's innovation. Let's just blue screen the entire fucking world, and we'll put it in later. We'll fix we'll fix the world building in post. But, I don't know.
I'll be honest, one of my favorite sci-fi aesthetics is actually, like... the old school, like, shitty sci-fi from, like, the 70s with, like, obviously, like, styrofoam costume aliens, like, in, like, a really cheap-ass set. Because then it's, like, it's
protein.
Actually...
Protein from the sea.
It actually is just about the
was
script
that
at that
run?
Point.
Like Logan's Run?
Yeah, no, I actually film. Like that. I actually I like that old
dystopias.
Set. Not on dystopias, but
well,
just...
Well, then you'll love THX 1138.
Yeah, you're gonna love that.
It's well, so it's all like, a bunch of just a white background.
They just don't have any sets at all. Yeah,
they do have some sets here and there.
But you know what I'm saying?
They like, have they have brain bashing masturbation machines. It's a great. It's a good time.
Well, to be fair, I kind of like would like everything to be a white background, maybe a white foreground too, maybe even a white midground.
How about some white casting?
Just white everything movie. Be white.
Well, you get that when you watch like stuff from the 70s. Everyone's white. Like they barely have like any niggers in there, and then But I don't know. I like that old, like, really. And sometimes when the sets are, like, really cheap and obviously made out of, like, cardboard and styrofoam and
Space Cop.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I because to me, then it's like, well, you actually really have to tell a good story. Otherwise, it's pointless. And so, and they do. They often do. So,
and that's what's like with the creator. It's like, we have all this extravagant, like, visual effects and this great, all the stuff going on.
No,
so we
can just, nothing.
So we don't have to tell a story.
Yeah.
We can tell a really stupid story and you just get dazzled by the. By the
right, images. And the story is like it's the same. There's nothing creative or new or interesting about it. Not that everything always has to be creative, new, or interesting, but it's just like, it doesn't. Nothing about it grabs me, and there's no. And again, it's also like.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Showa on the RightStuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, the RightStuff.biz is 100% listener funded. We have no sponsors, we have no mega donors, we have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions, create an account, create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure, so you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
Largely because the cast isn't white, that you'd lack any emotional connection to them. Like, you don't care about a nigger rescuing a brown kid who's like some supercomputer. Like, I just don't give a shit. And I just don't want to watch this world that this happens on. I hope the machines win. Like, this was always my take on the Matrix too. I was like, no, the Matrix should, the aliens, the robot, I've been doing this take for years. The robot should kill the people at the Zion rave. Like, they should kill them and they should win. Like, legitimately, they should win because those are the bad guys. Like, Morpheus and his, like, raving mass of, like, orgiastic brown people should be murdered by robots.
After you see that scene, you kind of do wish that the robots...
No, they should win.
It was, like, two or three. I guess that was in two.
That was in two.
Pretty cringe.
I never watched three, and I remember...
Do you ever see, like, the Andy Dick, like, skit with that whole, like, they cut... They like I don't remember, it was like the MTV Movie Awards or Saturday Night Live or something, like made a skit based around the rave scene, and they just cut to like Andy Dick with like glow sticks between his fingers, like
that's probably pretty funny, actually. That's probably pretty funny. That's probably pretty funny.
It's a really good skit.
Anyway.
Old stuff. But I mean, speaking of other pointless content, I guess
I was done with the creator because the creator opens and it does this thing. I'm sure
you ever seen it in a movie. Incredible. Yeah, go for it.
Where the protagonist, like, he has this fall from grace in the very beginning of the movie, right?
He's a nigger.
And then he goes to his stinking dead-end job, and he's all broken down, and, you know, his life is just gone to shit, but then they're gonna give him a new mission.
Oh, God. I hate that.
And I'm like, I've seen this trope millions of times.
Oh, that nigger was Denzel's Washington son.
Yeah, the same. Yeah, that
millions
same
of times I've seen this trope.
From that other terrible movie he starred in, with he was in a Christopher Nolan movie that was awful.
They
fight in time or something. He's like time cop.
More generally, it feels like the creator was designed. Oh god!
I'm sorry.
Time suspect.
Time suspect.
Time blackmail.
What you gonna
time
do?
Time to do nothing.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It feels like the creator was designed by an artificial intelligence. Like, if an AI was to spit out a movie script, that's what it would look like.
It probably was. I mean, because who's writing anything anymore of any...
It's written by artificial diversity.
Yeah.
That's where it really comes from.
So, yeah.
But Borland Blorf won the...
yeah, that was...
The Iowa
I saw
Congress.
That.
Did you
have a take on it?
Did you see, like, the libtards? They were, like, mad about it? Like, it's a
weird, saw that, yeah.
It's a weird flex. It's like, you only 14% turned out. I was like, yeah, but he won. You won by like a mile.
14%.
They're trying to flex like...
It's a fucking caucus.
They're like, it was 14% turnout and you only won half of those. I'm like, he beat the closest like second place person by 30%. Like, it doesn't matter.
On. That's actually a really stupid... That's a very it's dumb really, take
I'm like,
for
what
a
do you guys?
Reasons.
I'm like Mr. Tiedrich or Defiant Brooklyn Dad, who do you think won the primary there? Like, what do you... Is someone else going to win? Like, are you invested in who wins the GOP primary now? Like... Like you, this
well,
is,
they are somewhat. They want to pretend like they're not, but like they are, because they just
do. They,
just,
they might, maybe they're. Are they worried? Do they hear like the orange footsteps? Like they think their boy's going to lose. They think Trump's going to beat Biden.
Yeah, they do. He's got a chance. I mean, the polls are not. The polls are pretty fucking dead even on that.
Yeah.
Like so.
But I was trying to like understand what the fight, like yesterday it was trending 14% on Twitter here, and I'm going to get a bunch of like. A meager 14% of Iowa's Republicans cast their vote for the GOP nominee. An overwhelming chose an insurrection. See, now you're just mad. Sexual abusing criminal who said he'd be dictator for a day. The weather was to blame for low turnout. There's no excuse for voting for... All right, that's a different tone. That's just like I'm mad. But there was a couple that were like,
all right,
you didn't really win. It's only 14. It's like, what
that's,
do you...
It's stupid. It's
or
also
they're saying
dumb
like half of Republican voters voted for somebody else. It's like not... Yeah, but like in like... A
and
smattering, like that's how these. That's
but
how primaries
also, like,
work.
No, but Trump won. Here's the problem.
The news is like a candidate won over 50% of the vote. That's usually the threshold. Like everyone is looking to get to. Like you're looking at 30, 30, 30. You're looking at like 30, 25, 20, 10, 50. You know, all these people have these. Nobody has like a clear.
I don't really want to spend time. I mean, I will spend time because I like to debunk
stuff. Did
you
just say 30, 25?
So.
Well, somebody has 30, somebody has 25, somebody has 10, somebody... You know what I mean? Like, it's usually like that. Like, no one has a majority. Everybody's in plurality zone, and who's going to eke out? Who's going to
absolutely...
It's like, you have a front runner. Like, he is the nominee for that party. Like, there's no competition.
There is no reason to think that had more people come, the result would have been different. None at all. There is literally zero. There's nothing from polling. There's nothing from anything that would suggest, had there been a higher turnout... That it would have been a different result. There's nothing to suggest that. Now, it was a low turnout, and you could say it's a low turnout because of lack of interest, or you could say it's a low turnout because of a storm. But when you look at the... I'm literally going to analyze this, so give me 1 second. When you look at... I just looked at the numbers. So they're saying 110,000 people turned out on Tuesday. Or was it Monday?
It was very cold.
It was very cold and very snowy. It was a blizzard,
I wonder if
right?
more people went to that now, Kansas City fucking Chiefs game that was like negative 30.
Yeah, maybe,
guys had
maybe
like
the, around the
did anyone
number.
Show up to vote for Trump in the caucus without a shirt on, and like with like face paint?
Yeah,
like put on orange face paint and no shirt. No.
Trump! In 2016,
that's what they did in Kansas City.
In 2016, they had an unusually high turnout in the caucus.
Oh,
and that was 167,000 people. And the reason they had that was because it was contested between, essentially, because Trump brought a bunch of people in to vote.
Yeah,
new people that hadn't voted before. And then the mainstream also brought more people in, the rhinos or whatever, because they were trying to suppress Trump. And what happened was Cruz won and Trump came in second. Cruz had 27%, Trump had 24%. This time around, though, now, but if you go back to 2012, then you had actually 122,000, which is more similar to 110,000, whatever. The point being, though, that the actual story is not like that is some kind of weird cope, and I don't think any serious analyst would do that. Like, I don't actually think even on the cable news stations you would actually, unless you're just dealing in the kinds of shit that is like just purely directed at like shitty cat ladies, like MSNBC tier material. Because frankly, I was reading the New York Times coverage of this yesterday morning.
Oh, so I'm sorry.
And the New York Times. Yeah. But I'll say this, though. The New York Times coverage was like completely even-handed and objective.
I believe that.
They were not mad. They were not hair on fire. They are not angry. They were like, here's how it went.
They do try not to appear retarded. Like, they leave that to other outlets. To, like,
yeah, but the, generally speaking, my vibe that I've been getting, and I've been getting this, people thinking I'm pressing too hard on this, you know, they could feel free to chime in with their own view. The vibe I've been getting is that, like, Jewish media, like media that's Jewish and expected for Jews to read, like, not necessarily totally Jew for Jew,
okay,
but like... like media that's like Jewish and leans liberal but isn't like hair on fire like crazy like MSNBC like appealing to cat lady shit is just like resigned to Trump and just like whatever. Okay. Whereas if you're watching like Rachel Maddow, obviously is Jewish, MSNBC, like Joy Reid on MSNBC went crazy, did a rant against white people because Trump won or something like that yesterday. Saying like, oh, evil white Christian men, blah, blah, that whole fucking shit, right? They're still doing the hair on fire, but that, to me, that's very much pandering to like this very specific set of people. Whereas like the people that are actually writing stuff that they expect people who are going to be like functionaries and policymakers or like, you know, inside the system itself, they're just resigned to it. They're like, yeah, Trump is this, that way. They don't care. They're not angry anymore about Trump. Like they don't seem like they're mad. They're not, because if you read the New York Times like 2016, they were legitimately like editorializing and writing all kinds of shit about Trump. They now treat it like, well, the Republican Party, if the faction of the Republican Party that wants to get rid of Trump, like they're just gonna, they seem like they're having problems. That's basically the kind of line they're taking. They're kind of like,
they have to wait it out.
Like we're washing our hands of it. Like, yeah, since they're resigned to it, they're sort of more like, well, we can't stop this. He's going to be the nominee.
Right.
So now we just manage that new reality. And
if they were better at politics, they could stop it. You know, the Democrats stopped Bernie in 2016. God knows if that was a fair contest, God knows who would have won.
Well, Trump also, let's be honest, Trump has a ton of support from a lot of fucking Jewish factions. Like there's a lot of Jews that support this guy a lot. And that's where and a bunch of Jews have even.
Here's a nigger cope. This is funny.
Like Michael Rappaport is now like MAGA.
Yeah. This guy says Iowa is 89% white. It does not represent America or what America will inevitably be. Let's just like step over that. Like let's not unpack that.
Okay.
He says in 2021 the total population of Iowa was 3.193 million. In 2020 the population of Brooklyn was 2.577 million. The first caucus needs to be the Brooklyn caucus. I'm like, Trump still would have won the Brooklyn caucus.
Libtards are saying,
but he still would have won the Brooklyn caucus.
Yeah.
Like who else lives in Brooklyn?
Yeah, the people that are going to vote Republican in Brooklyn are going to vote
For Trump.
And it's a lot of them are going to be niggers.
Yeah.
But the problem is niggers don't show up to vote.
Right.
Niggers, the reason that Democrats get... We've said this forever.
All the Chabad guys will be voting for...
Yes, that's actually true. The Chabad guys do show up.
They'll be showing up
and niggers don't.
Trump.
And the only reason that the niggers show up to vote when the Democrats organize them and get them to the polls. And there's a whole machine, on-the-ground machine, the Democrat Party has organized in big nigger cities to get high nigger vote turnout. And without that, they wouldn't even know it was fucking election day. They are not self-starters. Where, you know, in the Republican Party does no such similar thing. The Republican Party could have a permanent win, like, in this country. They could have had a permanent, like, always be in power if they organize rural whites the way the Democrats organize urban niggers. But they just don't, because they don't really fucking care that much. They also just don't want to organize white people. They're against it. Like, can we organize the niggers, please? I think that's what we want to do. But
what you're saying is something I've literally heard a local Republican complain about. Was the party does nothing to actually mobilize the base?
Yeah, well, the party is dead in the party's dead in the water right now. I don't know if they're just like doing a holding pattern until Trump is off the scene. But
yeah, they
just
are.
Everywhere at every level. Like somebody mentioned in a chat last night or something. I don't know. But
well, it's a holding pattern to go back to their previous holding pattern.
Somebody was talking about like what is there real? Do we really have a real critique of like infiltrating the Republican Party? And I'm just like, well, at this point, it's like you're infiltrating the losing, like the losers. Mm-hmm. Like they're not winning anyway. They have no money. They have no ground game. Republican Party.
Do you have a real critique? Yes. Well, here's my question.
I mean, just leave that aside. Like at this point, like the Republican Party, they're not winning anything anywhere. They can't win a school board.
Sure,
like
but
they're not like
is,
like the entire. And I don't know if it's like are something being held back by their, because since the entire party is run by Jewish donors anyway, it's like is something else going on here? They're just waiting for like Donald Trump to die or to be ineligible.
Jewish donors are only donating to the Republican Party for national level and sometimes like state level elections. They don't care about the local.
The Republicans are not making gains anywhere.
No, I know.
Republicans that are going to like win elections at any level are protected incumbents.
Right.
You know, like the really like the Jewish run.
My question is like
Warren fucking Boebert is like moving to a different I almost said division, like this is sports or something. But a different district, sorry.
What is like sports?
Yeah, sort of.
She's moving to a different.
Sports is fun and more significant.
How's she doing in the standings?
Let me tell you something. Like, organized professional sports, people take a lot more fucking pride in that, and they're a lot more depressed when they take an L there than they do on election day. You heard it here first.
Yeah, last thing I said about Lauren Boebert is she got some kind of fight with her ex-husband.
Hold on, Alex. When is the last time you saw somebody take off all his clothes, run through a foot and a half of snow when it's negative 20, all they're wearing is their team colors?
Well, Lauren Boebert did that.
Okay, true. You got me. But none of her voters did.
So, yeah.
None of the voters.
Well, she would get voters
if she
did
it. To run across the snow and then cannonball into the hot tub. I mean, you're going to get pneumonia. You're getting pneumonia. You're not getting pneumonia for Republicans. You're getting pneumonia for the Buffalo Bills.
That is a good point. People are more passionate about sports than they are about politics.
We should somehow tie the Super Bowl into who the president is. Then we'll be on to something.
I wouldn't generalize that.
Isn't it just the plot of Idiocracy?
No. Hold on a sec.
I will join the Guitar Army. You can draft me into the Guitar Army.
There's different segments of the population.
I know.
And the ones that are that, but you absolutely have people. And frankly, more of them are, this is the thing, while liberal sentiments are by no means a majority in this country, not amongst whites and probably not even amongst fucking niggers, the people that have said sentiments are, you think cat ladies didn't fly into fucking depression? You saw their reactions when Trump won. I mean, no, there are people that care about this. It's a smaller and more educated subset of the population, the people that run around naked for the Buffalo Bills, but there it is. They do exist. And frankly, the thing is, the question I have that triggered me about what you said is, what about the actual critique that we've been doing for years of the idea of infiltrating the Republican Party? Is, like, does this guy consider not real? Like, what is it? Does he have a refutation of that? You know, because I now I want to like revisit this argument. I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
No, he was just doing it like everybody do everything. And something will work. That's all he was saying.
Oh, I see.
But I was kind of like, well, right now, if you're like, why don't you infiltrate the Democrat Party? At least they're winning.
Dude, I used to get fucking shit for saying that. I used to get shit on for saying that. Because I actually said, like, if you want to infiltrate a party, like, not only if you infiltrate the Democrats will you have a better chance of winning, you'll be taken more seriously. Because if you get to the top of the Republican Party, you're still not taken seriously because the Republican Party is not there to make policy. At least not the kinds of policies.
The Republican Party
want.
Also has a built-in immune system to keep.
My point is that.
Remember James Alsip?
First of all,
what position did James Alsip? He won uncontested.
Some local.
They fucking threw him out, ran him out.
It wasn't even an elected position. It was a position within the party itself.
Oh, yeah.
And they just threw him out. Because they have no obligation to respect an election result for that, right? If he actually won a public post, they couldn't throw him out because he was elected by the people. But like,
oh, really?
Yep.
I figured they would have figured that out as well.
Well, would have, or what they would have done is they would have just ignored him or figured out a way around it or whatever.
They threw out that gay spick from New York. From Long Island, out of the house, didn't they?
Yes, they threw George Santos out.
George Santos,
and they're replacing him. We already covered this. They are replacing him with a black woman IDF veteran.
I didn't know about the IDF veteran.
Oh, you didn't know about that? They are so fucking proud. Wait, didn't we do this? I thought we did this on Monday.
I don't fucking pay last attention. Week.
We did this last night too, but it's definitely the second time I've done
it.
My
car repairs.
No, maybe Borzoi and I did it. Yeah,
might have been.
So. The person that the GOP is replacing George Santos with is a black woman who was an IDF veteran. I am not fucking making it up. It's absolutely true. I put the headline from Fox News up on the screen last night to prove that this is true. It's totally true. I forget her name. It's something stupid, some African shit. She's some like Ethiopian Jew that went to Israel and like served in the fucking IDF, and there we go. But think about it. Is that not here's my critique of infiltrating the Republican Party. Because the Republican Party thinks that the ideal candidate is a black woman IDF veteran. They are going to run her for president if they go. That is why that is that aside from all the other issues that we've already well undocumented.
I don't remember where I saw it, but there was a nice dad joke somewhere out there. Like, what do you call the only black guy at the Republican meeting? Is like
candidate,
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, what do you call the only black guy at the Republican anything? The guy, the figurehead or the guy? Yeah, it's just yeah.
I call him the nigger.
Yeah.
Well, the best answer is always nigger. Like, what do you call the only black guy at? Just nigger.
Nigger.
That's always the right answer, but, like, what do the Republicans call him? Mr. Chairman, nigger.
Mr. Chairman.
Master.
Yeah. Master.
Yeah, master.
Well, that's a good tweet right there.
But I want to further continue.
That's a solid tweet.
That's something that has been done for a long time. It's something that people have been doing for a long time, and there are people that have had varying success of getting within the party, right? There are people who are probably to this day working in the Republican Party apparatus who are white nationalists and racists. They actually are desperate about hiding that fact because they know mm-hmm. if they get found out, they'll be expelled. Therefore, their actual ability to affect change in policy from within the party is completely limited. In fact, they have to go along with the party line even harder than somebody who isn't a white nationalist racist and thus feels free to actually express their views. So that's my critique, is that what happens is, like, you get assimilated by the party rather than the other way around. And of course you could say, well, let's just get the numbers up. And it's like, I mean, yeah, but then if we had the numbers to take over the Republican Party, we just have our own party. Like, if we have
but
that
the Republican
numbers,
it's almost like this strategy is sort of like a psyop in a way. To keep you on the Republican plantation.
Well, there's absolutely a
segment. It's almost like somebody figured out, you know, you can take white nationalists, you can funnel them into Republican Party politics, and you can build a majority on them, but not actually give them anything.
Yeah, you can take this segment.
It's almost like that worked in very recent presidential elections.
Well, it's worked forever. I just want to make the point.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily new. No. Like, what happened, like, Donald Trump, like, doubled and tripled down on it, but it's a strategy that the Republicans have done on and off. Like, you couldn't show me an election year where Republicans weren't banging on about immigration, frankly, from the last 30 years. They always do. Suddenly, in an election year, they start going on and on about it. I mean, we have fucking Ann Coulter. How many years is it? I mean, at what point, Ann, does your fucking own critique not just...
Hey, you're still listening to only half the show? Get behind the paywall and get the rest of the story. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall... and choose the subscription model that works best for you. And don't forget, every Tuesday evening, there is an Odyssey stream where Sudden Sun will take your donations through a credit card or a debit card in exchange for a subscription. You have no idea how much content you're missing. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and let's fix that.
Double back on you. You're out here pretending like Ron DeSantis is going to do the fucking actual thing on the border. You've been bitching about this for 30 fucking years.
Well,
every election cycle you say, this guy is going to win. He's the one that's going to do it. It never happens,
Ann.
Well,
this time
what about you?
Well, this time she's set because DeSantis is never going
to
win anything. So
she
can always claim that
he would have got it done. Yeah, but he'll be running again. He'll probably be president someday. So, like,
I don't think so.
Maybe not. He's so gay. He's like
that guy has
gay.
No charisma.
He's
the guy has no want to have a beer with him thing. They need somebody better than that. They're not,
yeah.
Can't. He's just so milquetoast.
He does the black woman talk to the hand gesticulation style, and he talks like a fag. He's like, well, have you read the bill?
Oh, my. I watched you sign it in Israel, sir. I didn't need to read it.
Yeah, and when I see a bunch of fucking hook-nosed kikes at yarmulkes standing around you, I already know what's going on. Like, I don't need
to... Is Michael Moore trending? What's he up to?
I saw that. I'm not sure what he's trending
like
for,
his third,
though.
Fourth cheeseburger.
He's supporting Trump?
This should be interesting.
Oh, sorry, this is a community note. In 2016, a clipped version of Michael Moore's speech seemed to endorse Trump, but the full speech, when heard to the end, actually warned against him.
Of course, because he was probably doing the bit of saying, like, Trump is appealing to some very real sentiments, some very real issues. Let's not dismiss that, blah, blah, blah.
You know,
blah,
I think
blah.
One of the most offensive things about our system is these people who try to put themselves out there as there's some kind of whistleblower, there's some kind of maverick, there's some kind of independent. Michael Moore is such a fucking elitist shill.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
He is such a fucking propagandist for the regime. I mean, he will never. Even if he endorsed Trump, that would just mean he's doing it with his fucking 49ers.
And he doesn't. He sucks. What's even worse about it is that the image he puts on the image he puts on, and this is rife throughout the system, people doing this. He puts on the image of, like, aw shucks, blue-collar white guy from Michigan, right? Like, look at me. I'm from Flint. I'm from working-class town. Right? He puts that on. But he's not putting that on to appeal to people that are like that. In fact, and this is an old critique, in fact, he generally hates people that are actually like that. Mm-hmm. He's putting that on to appeal to, like, Democrat cat ladies who like the idea of a guy like that supporting their politics, because everybody loves the idea of somebody who is sort of demographically pegged as like the other team or on the other side or being like that, actually then turning around and saying the kinds of stuff they like. It's why people liked it when Glenn Greenwald started doing COVID-tard shit, right? Because, yeah. Oh, look at this guy. He's like a lip-tarded Jew journalist. And he's turning around and he's validating my point of view. You know what I mean? So people love. So Michael Moore gives the aw shucks, blue collar, ball cap wearing, fat, working class Michigan guy vibe to like suburban cat ladies from like Connecticut who fucking hate Donald Trump with a passion. And so he's literally, it's not even like the costume. This is what's annoying about the costume that these people wear. It's not the costume for the people that they're dressing up as. They're dressing up as another type of person. They're dressing up as that type of person to appeal to people who generally hate the kind of person they're dressing up as, but want the validation of that costume being like, yeah, no, I'm that guy and I still am like a Democrat, you know?
They're doing the kind of electoral Machiavellianism that I sometimes hear from our side. And I don't mean to like throw people under the bus, but it's sort of like they're treating that ball cap wearing blue collar guy as a constituency you can manipulate by saying the right things to them in a certain way. Actually, no, that's actually worse. The person Michael Moore is using that image to manipulate somebody else.
Right.
Some people want to manipulate that group of people. It's like if we just sing the right songs about fudge rounds.
The way you manipulate that group of people is you send like a Jew in a suit and tie who's supposed to be a liberal. Who then says, no, I also, you know what I mean? You manipulate American constituencies by being someone that looks like their supposed enemy and then validating their point of view. Like, even me. Yeah. It's like everyone's unfrozen caveman lawyer. Like, like everyone's like, even I'm a urban liberal and I can see these conservatives are right about these things. You know, it's just like, shut up. All of you shut the fuck up. All of you just like, shut the fuck up.
Michael Moore.
Now we get to make fun of Borzoi for like falling for Glenn Greenwald's like shitty joke.
Oh yes.
Yeah, what happened there? He was doing like an irony. I was listening to him. I was like, I don't. This is not really. I thought Jews were funny.
Well,
they're supposed to be good at comedy.
Well, he got made
then
fun of.
Then you add
for, like
faggoty snark to it, and it's like, why, Glenn? Like, how is this not?
Well, here's my thing on this. Yeah. He got made fun of for not getting that it was a joke, and I'm like, that's.
Because
it
really
was so fucking
done.
Unfunny, like, I can easily see
it was painfully not funny.
Why There's, he didn't get yeah. that it was a joke. Now, the reason I saw it and I was like, I can't imagine he's serious because he talked about, like, the studio system set up by, like, Lewis Meyer and the Warner Brothers being, like, exclusive, like, excluding Jews and not being, and I was like, I cannot possibly believe that that's something even a kike like Greenwald could be like blatantly lying so much about, because you can actually just go to Wikipedia and see that all these people are kikes, right? So it's like that's just like I can't imagine that's serious, right? So I was a bit confused, but whatever, he just didn't catch the humor in it, and oh boy, what a dumbass. What an idiot.
Bald.
He's got autism.
Well, that's also part of it.
He was saying the Jews were underrepresented in
we can watch it. It's not good.
Here, right? Oh, somebody put a snarkometer in front of it.
There's no snark. No, it's not even. He's not even a good snark. Like,
wait,
this
I
is
thought
my,
I fixed this,
dude. I'm sorry. Like the point. Like I want to actually. Again, this is sort of a personal critique of Glenn Greenwald. It's not. He's not even snarky enough for you to catch on. It's just like, what is this guy talking about?
All right.
Like, legitimately,
at the top of the show, the Anti-Defamation League is an organization that when
the fuck is that noise
mentioned on the show?
Oh, is this going to be the meter?
It's like
making
a vibrator.
Like,
in his ass.
Oh, I thought it was like an industrial fan.
No, sorry, I had a different.
Typically, the target of our criticism, and tonight we are actually able to keep praise on it and credit because they are
launching a campaign to combat a very long-standing, systemic, and quite notorious problem in the United States, which is the inability of American Jews, going all the way back to the founding of Hollywood, to be able to have any role whatsoever in the entertainment industry. As you probably know, when Hollywood was first founded, it was run by a system of studios, run by people like Louis B. Mayer and Warner Brothers, and there was simply no way for any Jews to ever have any role in any of these studios. Once the studio system started declining in the 60s and 70s, the power shifted to agents and then to mega agent firms, where American Jews have been notoriously excluded. And as well, even on the level of acting, there are virtually no American actors.
It's not snark. It just comes off like he's lying.
Right.
Like, see, he's not, is that the snark meter?
The snark meter is fucking funny, though.
The snark meter, but here's the problem.
It's already at 100, though.
But here's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, without the snark meter, you would be like, what?
I'm like, I've watched, like, does he believe this?
The thing that tipped me off wasn't that it was not real, was not like him. This is the other problem. And this is purely like a criticism of him as a presenter, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't him or any cues that he was giving. It was just that the things he was saying were legitimately the direct opposite of the truth in such a way that I couldn't imagine that Glenn Greenwald would ever be able to actually utter those phrases, even despite the fact that he's Jewish. So that I was like, no, he cannot possibly actually expect anyone to believe that. But there's no cues that he's giving that he's doing a joke. There's no cues that he's doing that he's doing snark or irony. None of that. Like, he's not giving you any clues like that. He is doing, it's like, I don't know. I would say he's doing a straight man gag, but he's not straight. But like,
he's doing a gay man gag.
I don't know.
He's gagging on.
But my point being this. Let's say that I'm just sticking up for Borzoi here because he was getting shit from people. And I'm like, what?
Don't do that. Don't stick up for Borzoi.
Why not?
Just let him twist in the wind. He's
Oh, come on.
You act like we're friends with him or something. I hate that guy.
Alex is a weird
guy.
Now
he's doing like the snarkometer.
Yeah, now we need an Alex snarkometer.
But I don't need it because I know that he's not being serious. It's just irritating.
Doing my Glenn Greenwald.
Let's watch more of it. And this is one of the most...
It's like so deadpan that it just doesn't work.
This is one of the more bizarre...
It's like corpse pan. Yeah.
The ADL, and he tweeted on Wednesday, quote, "It's critical for any push for diversity in any industry to be inclusive of Jews. If your project of inclusion perpetuates the exclusion of Jews, you are failing. So we applaud the many celebrities for their courage in standing up, speaking out, and writing to the Academy to demand change."
Is the takeaway from Greenwald like, no, Hollywood's great, it's Jewish, and that's just Grant?
No,
like,
he's just weird.
He's just making fun of the ADL.
Because we've been trying to get conservatives
really to take from
it. Just to understand is that the efforts by people like Bill Ackman to...
Ackman?
Get people fired from American universities for having supported too broad of a theory of free speech.
Is that what happened?
Is that they're not trying to eliminate the DEI system. They're trying to expand it.
And there's your, I mean.
Tipped me off. That's your
conservative like bait and switch too, on DEI and the DEI issue. And
well,
like,
but the other thing is that like this also tipped me off that like this is some bullshit because I don't think that's actually what his character that he plays thinks about.
American Jews, to give American Jews even more privileges within academia than they already have. Now, like Hollywood,
he said they already have.
The Ivy League schools are notorious for not allowing American Jews there, for not allowing any American Jews to succeed within
This was the point at which I was like, this guy's full of shit. Like, that's this right
is really
here.
Not funny.
This is, yeah, but this is the point also when I stopped and I was like, yeah, this guy's full of shit. But yeah. Anyway, I don't like Glenn Greenwald. He sucks. But like, I did develop a very just so story about how he could possibly actually be wanting his audience to not, like, how this wasn't a joke. And it's such a just so story that I'm almost like, I don't even want to repeat it. But I did repeat it last night, but I'll repeat it again, which is that, like, he actually is trying to double down to, like, his, because he's on Rumble, right? He's on Rumble. So he's trying to double down to, like, the COVID-tard Rumble base.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, actually the left is attacking Jews all the time, The problem is Greenwald's position is a little bit...
Greenwald?
Yeah. I mean, now I'm going to start talking like him. Like, I've got literally testicles in my mouth. Well, that's what he sounds like. Yeah. Man, actually, I don't know how somebody sounds like that when they're like that. But anyway, he's just... Anyway, whatever.
I wish I had that Butters drop.
They would call me Ball Chin Boy, Chin Ball Boy. Greenwald. But I love this, like... But they're even within the... within that joke, there was some shitty stuff that isn't a joke. Like his like too broad a theory of free speech stuff. It's like, no, that's not what it is. That's not what it is. Bill Ackman didn't say anything about too broad a theory of free speech. Bill Ackman wants to shut down anti-Zionist speech, period. That's it. And that's all he cares about. And Bill Ackman got owned with the whole thing with his wife being a plagiarist as well. But he doesn't care. Plagiarism was just his tool. He doesn't really care about plagiarism, right? He just actually got hoisted on a petard because that was one of the things, that was one of the tools he used in his toolbox to get his real agenda, which was just to... And it wasn't even against Claudine Gay. What it was delivering a message. Delivering a message to elite people that aren't Jewish in these elite institutions that you're going to have to start learning that you're going to have to be pro-Zionist, or at the very least, the fucking silent. You don't get to be in Harvard anymore and be a flag-waving Palestinian advocate. That's done. We're done with that. We are finished with that. We're phasing it out, and it's not because it's actually now becoming a problem. So right now, the Jews are going to be in a struggle. Probably it's going to last several years between certain types of liberals, certain types of brown people, and themselves. And without any backing coming from anywhere else, the Jews are going to win. The Jews are going to win that battle because in the end, they will always be able to recruit enough brown people that just don't have principles, and if they can just pay off, they'll always be able to find Richie Torres's. This idea that brown people, particularly like blacks and fucking Hispanics in America, if we know one thing about like blacks and beaners, what do we know? Oh, they're super morally principled people, right? These are people, right? Like, these are people who are like really, really are going to, all of them, as collective groups, these blacks and Hispanics in America are going to stand on that principle, right? For sure. There's no way that fucking Jews in control of trillions of dollars could possibly ever recruit out of their ranks people that'll just say they love Israel for money. That couldn't happen.
No.
That couldn't happen. No. Blacks and browns will, no matter what, because of their hatred of whites, which comes out of Jewish narratives that they were taught. This is the stupidest thing about this whole fucking idea that because browns are turning on Jews, they've got like remorse, the buyer's remorse on brown people. No, they fucking don't. All they're going to do is buy different brown people. They're just going to turn them in and buy different ones, like Richie Torres.
Or another thing is like...
Or this fucking nigger bitch that was in the IDF.
Well, so that brings up a good point, though, is that they don't pay the price for getting the wrong brown people.
That's what I was just going to say. And yes, they don't pay a price for shunting one out of you and replacing it.
Like, and you're going to keep paying that price.
You can't get rid of a problematic brown person in your professional life. They can. There's no one to hold them accountable. They're the ones that hold everyone accountable. They run the system.
Right.
They made the rules and they enforced them.
So they're returning Claudine Gay and they're picking a Richie Torres off the shelf. That's what they're doing. And they're going to keep doing that. It's going to be a little bit of a process.
And no one can punish them for getting rid of Claudine Gay. There will be nobody who is involved. In fact, as an insurance policy, they went out and they made Christopher Rufo think he's the one to get rid of her.
Yeah. Yeah, just so he's the one that takes the heat. And then Bill Ackman. Look, let's be honest about Bill Ackman. He was humiliated because a shot was fired back at his wife, but nothing happened to his wife. Because his wife had already left MIT. And she's already in charge of some bullshit company where they put silkworm on pieces of string and pretend that they're doing design innovation. And, like, that company, nothing's going to happen to that. Like, whatever bullshit investment or whatever money Bill Ackman was giving her to just have her fun little Burning Man-style, like, bullshit art thing, like, plagiarizing from silkworms now rather than Bill Ackman's wife now plagiarizes from silkworms rather than whatever else she was plagiarizing before.
Silk Road plagiarist.
Right. So, like, it's just like none of that's changing, right? Like, he still has $4 billion. He still has his, like, fucking hedge fund. He's just kind of personally embarrassed. And the Jews are kind of like, all right, well, that's kind of on you, Bill. Like, we don't really give a shit. Like, we're not going to. We're not going to take the rest of our apparatus and kind of like hang it on like your fucking dumb wife and her stupid Burning Man shit and her plagiarism. We don't care. Like she can, you got embarrassed, whatever. That doesn't matter to our overall thing. In fact, we're going to limit that just to you. But like, but also it doesn't matter. It's not really going to hurt him if he just stayed off fucking Twitter. None of this would have been a problem. Like he wouldn't be embarrassed if he just fucking stayed off Twitter. And he doesn't need it. He still has his whole fucking company. And it's like, I'm sure in private when he talks to his friends, he's like, yeah, I never cared about plagiarism. Yeah, my wife gets to, she can copy whatever she wants. It's my wife. Like, who fucking cares? Fuck these goys. That's probably what he's talking, and the other Jews that he's friends with, they just agree with that sentiment, and so whatever. But yeah, the whole fucking phony stance, like, oh, DEI is taking hits. It's like, no, what's going to happen is you're just going to get niggers that love Israel. That's what you're going to get. That's your, all your, and if you want to join in with Jews, this is my other critique of joining in with Jewish bullshit. All you do is give Jews what they want and get nothing. All you're going to do, if you join in with this like segment of Jews that's doing the anti-DEI shit, you're just going to help them get like pro-Zionist DEI. You're going to get DEI plus Israel, the DEII. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all you're going to get. Diversity, equity, inclusion, Israel. Like, that's what you're going to get. Diversity, equity, in Israel. That's what DEI is going to stand for now. Diversity, equity, in Israel. Like, that's all it is, right? Right.
Writing that down.
Yeah, that's a good one. That might even be a show title.
You like that better than Hitler Swastika 2024?
Not really.
But I feel like we have to go with that.
We
do.
Yeah.
Hitler Swastika 2024. Yeah. And 2025.
I'm scanning Bill Ackman's Twitter. There's nothing really interesting here.
No, because he's a fucking, he's probably a midwit Jew, just stumbled into billions of dollars and just fucks around. Like, I don't think particularly smart about Bill Ackman. Just a kite.
You know, the Business Insider and Axel Springer have tripled down on their false claims and defamation. They have amplified their exposure, and for that I am grateful.
Yeah, right.
We will respond with a formal complaint, which will take a few weeks to prepare. All right, Bill Ackman.
Yeah, good job. I mean, who cares? Guess what? See, the Axel Springer, what Axel Springer did, which Axel Springer is a German media company that is controlled by Jews. What they did, made the decision
when it was, they, when they it was did their, Jerry Springer's Guns N' Roses tribute band.
Yes, that's in America. This one's in Germany.
Okay, right?
So there might be like a loose connection there. But yeah, it's Axl Rose throwing a chair. That's Axel Springer, which I think he's probably done that. He's probably trashed many a hotel.
Not in his current condition.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah. So Axel Springer is run by Jews. So what happened though is just that they did like their review, and they decided, this fight isn't worth it because it's really just a fight for Bill Ackman sort of not being embarrassed on Twitter.com. And, like, we don't care that much. That's kind of the decision they made. And they're also like, hey, look, if the people... there also is another thing. That it's like, if the people mad about Claudine Gay getting removed focus in on this one billionaire as their target rather than understanding that there's a systemic push by the Jewish apparatus generally...
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
Make all these liberal institutions like much more friendly to Zionism. That's good. Because again, it's like Christopher Rupo was a scapegoat they were pointing people at. Now you can go and you can get mad at Bill Ackman on Twitter. You can like own Bill Ackman on Twitter. And I did my part. I enjoyed owning Bill Ackman on the fact that he's a fucking total hypocrite and his wife is a privileged plagiarist with no actual fucking credentials or talent and just does a bunch of stupid Burning Man tier bullshit and she just gets to because she's a rich Jewish woman. Like, yeah, that's fun. But in the end, if they're like, oh yeah, liberals, like, stay mad at him. Stay mad at that guy while we are all just, like, the whole Jewish apparatus is, like, fixing this system to our tastes and our likings. So... yeah.
What do you make of shit like this? This was in Bill Ackman's Twitter feed. It's at The Economist. The man supposed to stop Donald Trump is an unpopular 81-year-old.
Why is it... hold on. Why is it just like one man? But anyway, who is the man?
Joe Biden.
Oh.
In failing to look past Joe Biden, demon rats have shown cowardice and complacency. It's wild stuff. American politics is paralyzed by a contradiction as big as the Grand Canyon. Is it?
It's not really paralyzed. It's just, it's true. It doesn't make sense. But,
whoa.
I do want to say one thing though. Like, I think the idea That just because, like Jews are in control of our system, right? That's beyond doubt. That doesn't mean that they're, like, not facing issues, and that one of the issues they're facing isn't the fact that, like, they don't actually have any credible representatives anymore.
I think it's weird that they couldn't, have, like, why couldn't they replace Biden with somebody?
And the reason that they're having these problems.
I mean, they all admit, they've been admitting for years that Kamala ain't it, chief. It's just a weird thing.
Well, it's because people just don't like her. So, obviously, to some extent, what people think in America does matter. Public opinion in America matters to Jews, and we know this has to be true because they spend so much time manipulating it. If it legitimately didn't matter because they could just exercise their raw power without what people think mattering, then why bother spending literally billions and billions and having all these media companies putting out all these narratives, paying, having all these different little things to catch people up in to distract them? So the Jews, in order to stay in power, need to... Essentially, they like anything. They actually somewhat like need your consent or at least your complacency. So they spend a lot to maintain that, right?
Yeah.
if they didn't feel like they needed it, then they wouldn't bother doing that. So so they do, and they do have a problem. And the problem stems from the fundamental fact that a society like ours actually just can't really work. And so it's one thing, you know, to have a multiracial society with all these different kinds of people in it and then try and project some unified idea of America as this ideal of the only ideal ultimately being the unity of all these different groups. Well, meanwhile, inside, all these different groups are like balkanizing and like hating each other and like hate crimes are happening and mass shootings are happening and all kinds of shit. Like, that can't really work. So one of the results of this is that you no longer have anybody you can put forward as, like, credible candidates for your two major parties other than, like, geriatric white dudes. And even they are, like, their credibility is suspect. Like, Joe Biden's not particularly credible, but that's literally the best that they actually have. They don't have anyone. So what do you do there? I don't know. I don't have any advice for them. I'm not even sure what they're going to do. But I do know that their idea, what they'd like to do, of having, like, everyone be some kind of, like, off-white or off-brown type, like, you know, new American, like, mixed race thing. That's what Kamala Harris is. It's not clear what, it's not, she's not white, but she's not definitely black either, right? So what is she? She's literally just off-white, off-brown.
She just looks high.
Like, who knows? Yeah, she's just on weed. Like,
it's just on weed. Have you ever been vice president on weed?
Yes. Have you ever been vice president not on weed?
No. Have you ever been second in line should something happen to your geriatric president on weed?
So again, these are issues,
have
right?
Have you ever had the economist who's given up on having the president stand down ask for you to stand down on weed? Kamala Harris is like, yes, right. I have. That's what we're getting
so
at.
So my
here.
Question is like, yeah, Democrats looking past Joe Biden, well, to who? Gavin Newsom? That's the best answer they've come up with so far.
I just can't believe they don't have anybody out there that they can just...
That's the best answer they have.
Like, remember Obama? Obama was just like, out of nowhere...
Dude, Obama was a golden boy. They burned him early, man.
But they just started calling him the golden boy, and then he became...
Like, he was literally like the high yellow boy.
But that's
like,
the kind of... but that's the kind of power they have.
That would have been... That's actually...
Okay.
Sorry.
But that's the kind of power... They can just create that out of thin air. They can say, oh, look at this new golden boy. They can do that with anybody. They can anoint somebody if they wanted to.
I don't
and
think
just
so.
Put the, and then just the media just does that, and then boom, you have a credible... I mean, they can't do that in 10 months.
I don't think so. I actually...
You don't think so? This, you don't think they can just create another...
Unpopular opinion amongst our crowd, because people want to kind of like always shit on Obama. He was actually... In terms of being a public face for what he was doing,
he was good at it. He was fine, but I mean, like, you're telling me they can't just grab a dude that like.
Well, I know they apparently not.
Apparently not.
It's not up to me to decide that.
The mind boggles.
It's not up to me to decide that. It's their issue, right?
It's like they are.
No, you don't have another fucking half nigger as credible as Obama.
You don't need a half nigger. Just get a white guy. That is like, here's our credible person that we're going to, because I know we like to talk about Jew control, but in the Jew control of the media, in the Finkel think, you know, there's two sides to every Schwartz. The Democrats get the upside, the Republicans get the downside. The Republicans are to be constantly pilloried and made fun of in the media, and the major media mostly fawns. If they say, this is the guy we're fawning, these are the balls we're fanning, the media will do that, and boom, you'll have a presidential candidate inside of 6 years. They could have started doing that in like 2018, but instead they're just like, Joe Biden's turn. Kamala Harris. See, I mean, maybe they got flat. Maybe they caught agree. Flat. Maybe they got caught flat-footed because they thought that like Kamala would be over by now, and people would be like, "Yeah."
I think they thought they could do that with her. Here's where I don't entirely agree. Like, they can't actually. They do that. They float. They literally test balloons, and then the problem is all these balloons have been falling flat.
I don't remember them even testing any. They pushed back, like, I don't know.
Kamala was a balloon that was tested, and that failed.
Gavin Newsom is just too gay, and he comes from, the worst state in the country that no one wants him to do with.
And he's, and frankly, he also is white. And really, one of the things that is being demanded of for this replacement for Joe Biden literally just getting a pass because he's old. But a young white person, I don't think that they're going to go for it. So, look, again, it's not up to... Again, my point here is that it's not like...
I think that if they wanted to, they could do that.
But see, here's the problem.
I think they have the entire media apparatus can build
then
that
Then why
person.
Haven't they?
I don't know.
Right.
That is
That's
my question.
My point.
Why
so
haven't
is,
they?
So this is kind of the point I'm making.
They
the
haven't
point
even...
I'm making is that this is now moved beyond like a theory cell problem to what are we actually observing? What we're actually observing is they are having problems doing this legitimately. So theory selling that because they have this power, they should be able to just do this, I think... It doesn't really work because they're not. They can't, and they haven't been able to. So
Democrats
why can't
need to,
they is more interesting than think, well,
right
they
here,
should just
right
be
here.
Able to.
Democrats need to unlock some excitement and create a sense of possibility about a second term. The president is not a good campaigner and is up against a candidate whose rallies are a cult meeting crossed with a vaudeville show. That's their analysis they have here.
Well, the problem is also you're not going to unlock excitement about America generally. Like, the idea of unlocking excitement about the future from any group in this country is just off the table. Like,
I had so much fun the other night. I got into an argument with some rightoid about America. He's like, you're just anti-America.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, just name me, like, a redeeming characteristic about America. And literally,
why should
the
I be
arguments
pro-America?
I'm also saying, like, what is America and what aspects of what? How can I be anti it? Because it also doesn't exist as
a
collective.
Hold on a second. What did this rightoid come up with his reasons to like America?
The only thing rightoids will come back at you with is, well, such and such a country is worse. And I'm like, I didn't ask you that.
That's not, we're not talking about that country. We're talking about this country. That's my favorite way of dismissing No. I'm not asking you about, like, Iran. I'm talking about here, right?
Yeah.
We're in now.
Like, I'm not asking you about Pakistan.
A lot of space.
I'm not asking you about Bangladesh. If that's your level of like, if that's what you're comparing us to, we're already off. We're already off to a bad start. Yeah. Like,
he needs someone who can speak to crowds and go on television for him. That person is not Miss Harris. One way she could serve her party and country and help keep Mr. Trump out of the White House would be to forswear. Another term is vice president.
If you think about it,
they're asking Harris to step down.
That's funny because she can't win either. Yeah, just give her a bunch of weed and then she won't.
Can you step down on weed?
just put on weed actually anything she does. Like Miss Harris.
That's
Ms.
what
Harris,
I'm doing.
Wait, what does it say? It's like he needs someone that can like excite the crowds and talk to people. Miss Harris on weed isn't the one to do that.
Mr. Biden could present his second term as a different kind of presidency.
On weed.
One in which he could share more responsibility with the vice president on weed.
Acting, share more weed with the
acting
vice president?
More like a CEO on weed. Either way, Biden needs help from an army of enthusiastic Democrats who are not on weed, willing to campaign alongside him.
Or if they're on weed. They could be, I mean...
At the moment, his party are sleepwalking towards disaster. You, mean,
all the
you
weed.
Mean they're on weed.
No, but weed. I'm almost like the weed is like the key element here. Like that's the one way you can sell these people is with weed. Like that might be why the Jews. I honestly think Jews are just pushing weed everywhere because that means like okay, now we don't have to come up with credible shit.
How do you do that cough
weed?
Where like you're holding the weed in? Like, it's like running
you're
for
desperately
a second.
Trying to fight your body's reflexes.
You're like
to
trying not
poison.
To cough. You want to like to hold it in.
You've ingested poison. Your body's natural response is to eject it, but you're just not letting
you
it happen
because you're on weed.
Because you're a drug addict.
You're trying to be on weed.
Your
body's like,
I don't want to be on weed. You're like, but I do.
Too bad.
I want to be on weed. Let's do mind body dichotomy. I want to be on weed, and my body doesn't. That's why I have to hold in my coughing.
All right, let's take a break. It's time. We'll be back with more weed stories.
Weed body dichotomy.
You are listening to The Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you, isn't it funny? La